Okay, we're going to begin very shortly. I'm just going to give you a quick update of what's happening. And this is just to talk about a family camp. We have to close registration. We can't take it anymore. We've exceeded by 21 people already. So I'm sorry we can't take this. We really, really are full. The hall can take in so many people and no more. And that's about it. And we can't fit it anymore. So this is good. And we are going to register. If you want to apply, you will be for register next year, 2087. And we're just going to see how this works. But let's look forward to the program. And on 7th March, we will have the first program. It will be called a pre-camp special. So we'll be here. And then, okay. And then this coming Saturday, we have $395 sign up, the Chinese New Year special. So it's just good to see so many people who are going to come. And we will usually have our usual things. And we just look forward to sharing the faith with all who are coming. And of course, there is always that special lunch or early dinner we have. And of course, I will also be sharing the tea that I have been given. It has been really wonderful. So what's your best dish Chinese New Year time? What's the best thing you ate? Can I share with you mine? It's Tua Tau Kana. How good is it? I passed one to Pastor Ben, and tears came to his eyes. Not because it's appreciative, because it's an acquired taste, and not every... I said, you didn't taste the sweetness? And he kept quiet. He found it very hard. And I say, wow, this is so sweet. This is the best kana I've had for a long, long time. And, well, that's what it is. And I just, you know, it's the best thing to eat after all the sweet stuff. And if it brings tears to your eyes, also good. But think about this. Okay, well, once again, wishing everybody a happy Chinese New Year. Okay. All right, then we have one last one. It's called the ACM. If you can come in a bit earlier, it'll be good, 1 o'clock. We'll start registering people in, and then we look at the number of people we're going to have. And then we will have the ACM. And okay, so we will have our ACM. This year is election year, but no campaign here. It's just straightforward. Here's what it is. Right, so if I am going to, you are going to put me in here, I will be there. But if you don't, then this is my goodbye to you. All right, so yes, let's look at the ACM later on, and let's ask the Lord to continue to lead us. So don't forget, for members only, and this will be, it's 1 o'clock. If you can have a quick lunch and come on up, okay? Well, let's prepare our hearts for worship.
Good morning. Happy Chinese New Year. A very special welcome to those who are new among us. I'd like to welcome my friends, Tim and Theodore, for attending this morning's worship. My name is Tan Hui Chim, and it is indeed my privilege and honor to be chairing this morning's worship service. Now, in the year of the horse, it will be remiss of me if I don't greet every one of you with some Chinese idioms that contains the word horse or ma. So, 祝大家马年大吉，龙马精神，一马当先，马到功成. So what the above greetings mean will be that I wish all of you a good fortune in the year of the horse, that you will have a strong spirit like dragon and horse, and you will be assuming the position of leadership in all your endeavors, and you have success in all the, or whatever that you do. But most of all, I want to wish you the Lord's everlasting love. So 我要祝大家最美的祝福，那就是主爱永久长. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship in your house this morning during this festive season. We want to thank you for your, we want to remember you and to give thanks for the tremendous blessings that you have on Bethany's as she enters her 54 year of ministry. We pray for your presence with us this morning as we commit this time to hearing your words through learning my pastor. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. So this month's theme is Bless the Lord, O my soul. In simple terms, it means praise, thank, and honor God from the deepest part of your heart. It is not a command to God, but it's a call to yourself to remember who God is and to give thanks, not just in words, but also in your mind, your heart, and your spirit. It is to remind ourselves to be grateful, even though life may be hard and busy. And remember God's goodness, mercy, and faithfulness. It can be used as a daily prayer. Indeed, there's nothing better than to start the day with a prayer because there's always so much to thank, even though it is not apparent to you. Now, 2025 has been tough for me, especially in terms of my physical health. So suddenly I'm starting to experience aches and pains which I never had all my life. And these aches and pains don't go away in 1 day or 2 days. And it started all with my right forearm, then my left shoulder, and then in the middle of last year, while on an official trip to Berlin, I started to experience back pain. Now, in the beginning, I didn't pay much attention to it, but increasingly it becomes difficult because it hurts when I turn in the bed, it hurts when I get out of bed, and you just even getting into a car causes a bit of intense pain for me. So this was aggravated during the course of my work as well because I have to don a fairly heavy lead apron as I do my operations, which typically can last for up to 6 hours on the operating day. What I could actually distract myself from the back pain during the surgery itself, but I could barely stand at the end of it. And I needed to sit down for relief. In fact, the best posture for me is to squat down the way you will squat down in a squatting type of toilet. Many of you may not know how to use it, but do you know that our laborers in the past will assume that sort of posture after carrying bags of goods? Because that's the best posture for back stretching and exercise. So I will go to the toilet in between cases and start doing my squatting. And people are wondering why I keep going to the toilet. So I consulted my spine colleague, and I was diagnosed to have a facet joint pain. From just physical examination, there was no MRI scan needed. For those who are not familiar with what facet joint pain is all about, it's actually one of the commonest causes of pain among elderly and athletes. I'm sure many of you can empathize. The back of our spine actually has vertebrae, and they're sort of connected to one another above and below by these joints, which we call the facet joints. So it allows you to bend, to twist, and to turn, and they are actually lined with cartilage and actually also surrounded by a joint capsule. So in many ways, your back is actually like your knee joint. So it will hurt when you start to have degeneration, and you start to have inflammations and with arthritis, it can cause as a result of a previous spine injury or just chronic overuse, bad posture, repetitive bending, or some kind of extreme exercise. But I guess my 30 years of donning a lead apron probably contribute to it. And even though I've been taking precautions to prevent this thing, I still experience it. It is a well-known occupational hazard in my field. So with my back pain, fortunately just localized to the left side, it was with prolonged standing and bending and associated morning stiffness. The good thing is that I did not feel any shooting pain down the leg. So which means to say that there's actually no nerve compression, which is a different ballgame altogether. So at the back of my mind, I'm just worried that things will get worse, so things will have to change. So I can't exercise the way I do, I can't run anymore. And I also have to be more cautious as to how to take care of myself. The biggest fear for me is that I will never be able to operate again. And that will be bad because that's something that I've trained all my years to do. So what do I do in such difficult time? You pray. And I pray as well. In times of difficulty, I always remember Psalm 27:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. So I started to change my exercise routine. Do you know who I sought advice from? And that's my daughter, Asia. So some of you may know that she has been a dancer all her life, and that she's still actively dancing. And she actually just completed a solo dance recital recently with a private dance school. So she taught me how to stretch my back in the gym. So I don't have to go to a famous physiotherapist, so just go to her. And I try to perform as diligently as I can. I will follow her exercise regimen as well. So instead of running now, I assume incline walking. And little did I know that actually incline walking burn more calories than running. So I would walk on the incline at a speed of about 6 kilometers per hour at an inclination angle of 15 if you try it on your treadmill for durations of maybe 30 minutes or so, and that will cover 3 kilometers. If you want, you can go on to 45 minutes. If you go on to 45 minutes on the incline walking, you burn nearly 600 calories. And 600 calories will be your 3 slices of bak kwa all by yourself. Or your 10 pieces of pineapple tart all by yourself. And that's amazing. Because for anyone who runs 2.4 kilometers on a treadmill, you probably burn less than 200 calories. So actually, incline walking is something that you want to consider if you want to burn more calories on your own. So I start doing more squatting exercise and so forth. And sometimes I have to take Panadol in anticipation of very tough and complicated long cases. So you see, if you ask any spine surgeon if he would operate on himself, it's a good question to ask anytime if you need to go for a surgery, what the doctor will do for himself. And all the spine surgeon will tell you, just wait and see. Okay? Because facet joint arthritis will come and go. And so with the inflammation subsiding, it will resolve. And it can take between 3 to 6 months to resolve. So my condition went on for 6 months. And I'm pleased to say that I've actually made an improvement in the last 6 months or so. So on the 1st January 2026, I went for my 2.4 kilometers run on the treadmill without stopping. So that's great. On the first day of Chinese New Year, which I always do, I go on my traditional run again, and I could still complete. So what a relief and encouragement. So this has given me a great start to the year, and I intend to build on it. I thank God for it. So life is full of ups and downs. Looking on the bright side of things is actually what some guru will say, one of the best longevity practice. So always look on the bright side of things. Instead of wallowing in negative thoughts and pessimism, let us begin this Chinese New Year on a positive and optimistic note. The new year will give us fresh hope. And a good practice is really to begin each day by listing what you are grateful for with the assurance that God goes before us walks beside us and support us from behind, that we can all face the future with courage and peace in our hearts. So please join me in the first hymn, Blessed Assurance. Thank you very much, our musicians and our AV team. So besides having an optimistic outlook, which is useful for your longevity, actually research has also suggested that having a sense of purpose in your life can ward off early death, cognitive dysfunction, and dementia. So I always ask myself, what is the purpose of my life in this world? As we learn and imbibe the word of the Bible and of the Lord in our hearts week in and week out, how do we respond? Our pastors teach us that it is to be faithful and do the will of God, by the way we live, by the way in our everyday action. Now let God's love flow through your everyday activities. It doesn't always require a big gesture. Oftentimes it is a small, sincere thing that matters most. Kind word, patience, and respect can uplift someone's day. When Dr. William Huang interviewed me, he was an interviewer when I was applying for the National Health Quality Service Award. He asked me, what is it that drives me to work every day? So I replied that it is the unique nature of my job, in which I can be a blessing to someone daily, that drives me every day. So whether it is doing an emergency standing procedure for someone with a heart attack and saving his life, or diagnosing and solving a clinical problems that helped him, or just simple reassurance and comforting words to him that all is well and good. It is a privilege that I enjoy and which I can share with my patients from all walks of life, including my many brethren from Bethany. So every Sunday when I come to church, it's like a mini medical ward round. So I look at all those who is under my care. And at the last count, there are 15 brethren and relatives who have been stented by me. By the way, I'm not seeking more patients or business or any referrals. I really already have enough patients. But it's indeed sheer joy. It's indeed sheer joy to see that many of the patients whom I have treated and operated on are doing well and attending church service. In moments of illness, people often look for hope. While cure may not be available all the time, but certainly a doctor can provide relief and comfort. Now, being careful reminds people that they are loved and not forgotten. And their experience of love, I mind you, can actually open their hearts to a God's presence. So when someone recovers, I see it as God's mercy at work. If their healing draws them closer to God, I'm grateful to be a small instrument in His plan. And that is why I always say a prayer before every high-risk, complex procedure, asking for wisdom, guidance, and safety. It is no joke meddling with people's heart every time. All of us in our different roles can be used by God to be a blessing to others, whether at home, at work, or in church, when we serve with love and sincerity. See, when you serve with love and sincerity, you become channels of His grace. So may we continue to encourage one another and trust that God will use each one of us in His own way. So please rise and join me in the second hymn, appropriately named Make Me a Blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Please be seated. And I'd like to invite the Evergreen Choir to sing to us Evidence of Grace. Yes.
Good morning, everyone. Singing Choir. It's been a while since the Evergreen has last come down to sing for the congregation. And I was told that it's 6 years ago. Wow. So we're glad to be back with you once again. And as the choir make their way up, you can see that we do have some new faces who have joined us. And together, we are thankful for the opportunity to share our very first song of the year, Evidence of Grace. Many people are facing serious challenges in life. And even though it often looks like everyone is coping, but on the surface area only. This song echoes Jesus' words in John 13, verse 34 and 35, where he gives us a new commandment to love one another as he has loved us. And it's a heartfelt reminder of God's love working through us in compassion, kindness, and willingness to uplift one another. May this message encourage us all to be living examples of his grace in our daily lives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Evergreen. Haven't heard from you for quite a while. And it's so good to hear you sing once again. And what you have sung, those words are true and they're important because there are a lot of people out there who live empty lives. And our challenge is to share with them our faith in the Lord. It makes all the difference in the world. Well, today we are going to conclude our series of messages on I Will Bless the Lord. And we're going to look at 104, Psalm 104 once again. And then I want to share with you how we can make really blessing the Lord is a part of our life. And it's something that you want to think about. Is it possible? And the answer is certainly, but we've got to do our part. Right? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can truly learn how to make blessing your name, praising you as a part of our life. We pray that you will teach us how we can do this. Pray that you will encourage our hearts to find a greater, deeper meaning of life than what we have found already. Pray for your blessings as we read Psalm 104 once again. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, let's look at Psalm 104, the last part of it. Last week, Eugene spoke on the subject of how to look at this. This is what we call a nature psalm. And, you know, it's just wonderful to be able to do that. But let's look at the second part of Psalm 104. This is the application part of it. How do we find this, right? So looking at verse 24, all the way and over here to verse 30, is what we call a response part of it. And this is important part of it because we ask ourselves how did the psalmist understand all that he has written about in nature? And so he said, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. See, this is the old way of expressing appreciation. Today, when we look at all the things that God has created, we're very economical with our words. Where all we say is, wow, that's about it. You know, when we look at the most beautiful thing and we say, wow, that's all we have. You know, I wish that we can do something a little bit better. In the 19th century, there was a person called Samuel Taylor Coleridge. I like his poems. And he wrote one published in 1834. That's how long ago. I read this particular thing, you know, about 60 years ago. And certain of those verses actually stuck. Right? Now, this Psalm 104 over here, we talk about how the earth is full of your possessions, a great and wide sea, innumerable teeming things, living things, small and great. There the ships sail about. There is Leviathan, which you have made to play there, referring to the great things like whales. They call Leviathan in general. Huge, giant, gigantic things, you know, right? And these all wait for you, and the Lord feeds them. And you send forth your spirit, they are created. You renew the face of the earth. And as he looked at all of these things here, he was so inspired. And that's how we want to look at it. How can we actually learn how to bless the Lord all the time? And the answer is inspiration. It's just that we're not very inspired, right? I don't know what inspires you. A lot of people, some people are inspired when it comes to food, right? So we have all kinds of challenges and all, and we food, and then it's very inspiring. The pictures are nice, the drinks are nice, and then you look at the price, suddenly not so nice. I mean, those prices are just horrendous. That's pretty Chinese New Year set menus. And the starting price is $198 plus, plus, plus. And then $298 plus, plus, plus. The worst that I've come across was one person, $888 plus, plus, plus. And you need a table of eight in order to make it. So you just multiply it. Suddenly the food doesn't taste so good anymore. I mean, I hope you understand. We find it very hard to be inspired when we look around nature, because when we look around, all we have would be going down to Toa Payoh. How inspirational is that? And then come in the Serangoon Garden. Again here, how inspirational is that? And of course, in the far-flung jungles there, Seletar Hills, the kampong there, that's where we live. I mean, you ask yourself, what is that all about? We don't seem to find a whole lot of inspiration anywhere, but the psalmist did. And to him, all of these things here, he could say, how manifold are your works? So he looked at the sea, he looked at the animals, look at the birds, and look at all the things, and he simply says, Lord, you feed them. You open your hand like a farmyard thing, and you know, open your hand, and then the animals come. I don't know, if you've never grown chicken, you've never grown ducks, you don't know what it is. But it's really quite a nice feeling. You call them, hey, chicken, and then they all come. You just put it on, and they all come. And if you don't give them anything, they'll peck at you. Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, it just, these are the things that we sort of, we don't know how to be inspired by these things anymore. But this story, this poem is an epic one. It's literally, I printed it up for myself to reread. It's 21 pages. Poem, one poem. And so people look at it, first they look at a number of pages and say, whoa, why, how am I going to read this stuff? But it's actually very interesting, right? So this is where he wrote. This is S.T. Coleridge. Anybody familiar with S.T. Coleridge? I hope yes. Please say, some say yes. You're not? Anyway, here we go. And he talked about this thing. See, what happened was he was together, he was a mariner, and so he was there. And then one day, the ship, this actually from the up in the South Pole, and then they got stuck there, and then they didn't know what to do, and then slowly, a lot of things happened. And so he wrote, described this. The ice was here, the ice was there, the ice was all around. It cracked and growled and roared and howled like noises in a swan. That's S.T. Coleridge's style of writing. And it's really beautiful when you take a look at these things here. And then at length did cross an albatross. Through the fog it came. As if it had been a Christian soul, we hailed it in God's name. Right? An albatross came along. It ate the food it had never had eat, and round and round it flew. The ice did split with a thunder fit. The helmsman sneered us through. This was going through a snowstorm in the ice, and they were bound, and the albatross came. A south wind sprung up behind, the albatross did follow. Every day for food or play came to the mariner's hollow. In mist or cloud or mast or shroud, it perched for Vesta's nine. While all the night through forked smoke white glimmered the white moonshine. And so it described the storm. They were stuck there in the ice. And then came the albatross. And then came the problem. Right? And so it is. I had done a hellish thing. It would work them all. For all averred, I had killed the bird that made the breeze to flow. I read, said they, the bird to slay that made the breeze to flow. So he slew the albatross. And from then onwards, a lot of problems came. Down dropped the breeze, the sails dropped down. To sad as sad could be, and we did speak only to break the silence of the sea. And then talk about how it is. All in the hot and copper sky, the bloody moon at noon. Right up above the marshy shrine, no bigger than the moon. Day after day we stuck, nor breath nor motion, and idle as a painted ship upon a painted ocean. Water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink.
water, water everywhere, nor any drop to drink. That was how he felt. The ship was stuck, and it was a really big problem. Now, am I anywhere close to the end? No. But you see, this is inspiration. And I hope you will get a chance to read. You can Google it if you want to and read it on your own. This is not a poetry lesson, so I'm not going to go up here. But there was the inspiration to write a story of how this man killed the albatross, and later on he regretted it. And it was a very, very sad thing here. So we read about innumerable teeming things. This was a real problem. Right? And so I looked to heaven and tried to pray, but or ever a prayer had gushed, a wicked whisper came and made my heart as dry as dust. So he tried to pray, but a whisper came in, a temptation came in. What's the point? And so the prayer became as dry as dust. So he did not pray. He could not pray. Right? And he said, talk about how the man began to curse him. An orphan's curse would drag to hell a spirit from on high. But oh, how more horrible than that is the curse in a dead man's eye. 7 days, 7 nights, I saw that curse, and yet I could not die. This was where he felt really, really stranded. All his mariner mates all cursed him. One by one, they died. No water to drink. They all, one by one, died. And it was a very, very tough time. And then finally, he came to this point when he talked about this. This is interesting to see how he moved. Oh, happy living things. Now, this is the teeming thing that we are talking about. No tongue their beauty might declare. A spring of love gushed from my heart, and I blessed them unaware. Sure, my kind saint took pity on me, and I blessed them everywhere. That self-same moment I could pray, from my neck so free, the albatross fell off and sank like lead into the sea. What they did was to hang the albatross around his neck so that he cannot let it go, to remind him of what he did to kill the albatross. And then finally he prayed. And because he prayed, the albatross fell off his neck into the sea, and he began to be restored. And this is just all the whole, and he was inspired. And this is what we have in inspiration. And inspiration come in many, many forms. And this is one of them. It's always a joy and a delight to read poems like that, because that's inspiration. Now, we are not all poets, so that's a real problem. All right, so how do we find the inspiration? Well, this is how we want to look at these things here. Right? So this is important for us to find our own personal inspiration. Looking at verse 31, let's take a look at 31 down to verse 35. And we have the conclusion of Psalm 104. And this is very much the inspiration that is personal here now. Now, this is something that we need to look at it. Right? The inspiration from nature, from inspiration for the incidents of life. Now the question is how to make that a part of our own personal life. And this is where you. So as he reflected on all of these things, this is an inspiration that really comes from an understanding heart. And his prayer was this: may the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. This is a wonderful way to look at what prayer should be. This is an inspired prayer. Right? So we have an inspired psalmist. And if you were to learn how to pray, the man tried to pray. A temptation came in, and his words were as dust. And then he prayed, unaware, as it were, the Asian mariner. And then his prayer, this was a prayer of love. And it was one where he really blessed everything that God made, everywhere. He blessed the sea. He blessed the worms that he saw. He blessed every single thing that he could see. And it was his heart that came in. Now, this is inspiration in prayer. Sometimes we don't realize that prayer actually sometimes requires an inspiration. Right? So when we look at it, say, why do you pray this way? And he saw the glory of the Lord, and instantly. Now, this is where we go. Sometimes that inspiration comes with an instantaneous response. Right? Now, this is very important. So it's just like writing a poem and you feel inspired. How long does it take to write a poem? Actually, a few minutes. Right? Because that what we call an instantaneous thing here. It's just there, waiting to be expressed, and it just comes forth. And that's what it is. And as he looked at all these things that God had made, it was an instantaneous response. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Look for those moments. They're very special. Right? You look for those moments. Once they are really special, and you look at it and you begin to appreciate these things very, very much more. I think that's something we want to look. So look for the inspiration in general. Look for that inspiration that is instantaneous. They're not the same. They're really not the same. And you want to look at these things here. And then comes, this is something that's really important. All right, so we look now at verse 33. Now, this one is quite different. It's not so much inspiration, general. It's not so much inspiration, instantaneous. But this one is what we call something that was now inside him, it was instilled inside him. So as we read Psalm 103, read Psalm 104, you ask yourself, I mean, messages come and go, right? And we will understand. But the challenge really is to ask yourself, how much of that message, how much of that word has been instilled in our hearts? So I teach the young people, you know, in the discipleship classes, I teach one. First level is just simply input information. That's it. It doesn't go very far. All right? Now, this is a friend. The second level is to go deeper where they are now instructed. There is some intensity there, but the instruction there is much more than just mere inputs. Right? That the third part, that would of course come to inspiration part of it, but the fourth part is where I want to put them into that position where it is instilled inside them. Now that's not easy, but this is what he's really saying right now. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. It's something that cannot happen just like that. You see, as long as I live, it's not an instantaneous thing. Right? Obviously, it is internalized. It's instilled inside you. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Right? So when Dr. Wei Chim was mentioning about all the pains that he has, I just wanted to say, welcome to the human club. Sometimes you wonder whether doctors ever understand pain. Sometimes you really wonder, and they all say all the nice, all the right things, all the right things, and you just don't know whether they understand. So I always, I'm so glad he's a human doctor. Because you have to understand that pain in order to understand what we're talking about. But it has to be instilled. Right, this is important for us, and this is something that, you know, how can I instill this in me so that I will sing to the Lord as long as I live? Now, this is important because this is a very, very conscious thing that he's doing. And I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Now, there's sometimes it comes to a point in a life when we are young, this is not something we will understand. Right? So when you are young, as a child, you'll never be as long as I live, because they think they'll live forever. When we grow, when we are teenagers, you know, I saw one of the corridors at NUH, and there was a person who made this statement. They were setting up a new team. He was setting up NUH at that point of time. And this person made an interesting statement. And he said, We were too young to understand. We could make mistakes. We were too young to... I mean, the idea is that we're just going to make any way to success. These were the early founders. These were the early people who were there. And we were just too young to realize all the challenges and the problems that were there. But this is the problem with good problem, but it's a real challenge. Because they don't understand the challenges which are there. When you grow a little older, and then you come into more senior years, and then you begin to realize there are such things as pain, things as chronic problems, and so on and so forth. They're going to be there. What's our response to this? It's internalized so deeply. What's my response? I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Right? Nobody will ever know that you're sick, actually, if you don't talk about it. Why? Because singing, praising the Lord, you are inspired. Right? This is very important. As a general response, as an instantaneous response, and you are, it's now inside you, internalized. And this is a wonderful way to be. I want to sing to the Lord. Now, this is a challenge I place for myself. As I face the evening years of life, and this is important. The question is, how are we going to face all these things of life? And I very much want to make this a part of my life, right? So you memorize it. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Now, I tried this very much. So I asked Ben Kwan to help me to get me some music that I can listen to while I listen. This year thing is not just to hear people, it's also to listen to music without disturbing other people. So some of the tests that I have to do at NUH recently would literally take hours. Right? What do you do there? I mean, you're just going to sit down there and do that. You can't. So I listened to it, and it's just been wonderful. And I wanted to sing. I want to hear songs that would praise the Lord. So I heard songs, the Lord's Prayer. So it was sung by different people, and they say, wow, this is absolutely excellent. And you enter into the music, and you understand it's going to be inside you. This praise has got to be inside you. So I listened to quite a number of people. One was an older, famous singer, Josh Groban. Then I also listened to a young lady, 13 years old, singing the Lord's Prayer. Fantastic voice range. And which is amazing how skilled they are. The challenge is to enter. I know the song. I know how to sing the song, but I cannot sing the way they can. And you look at it, and you're so inspired. So then the nurses are poking here, poking there, going, poke, I'm listening to my song. You see, this is where I am inspired, and I am not worried about the pain that I feel, and I'm not worried about the results that when they're going to tell me to. I just want to be able to sing. Now, here is the one last word that I would like very much to consider with you. And may my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. This is important. I call this an implicit response. What does it mean, implicit? It's going to be part of my life and my faith. How do I respond to all things? I want it to be not just an inspiration. The inspiration usually comes from outside. Right? Then you go into it, instantaneous is something that you there and then respond to, which is wonderful. All these things are good. But what I really want to go towards is more than just an instill inside my heart. I want it to be as implicit within me to be praised. In other words, it's a given. How should I respond? Implicit within my faith. I want to sing to the Lord. I want to praise Him. So that's how I want to conclude this whole series of messages that we are looking at. Now, this level of an implicit level is not an easy level to come to. right? The word level, in other words, no matter what, no matter what the diagnosis may be, no matter what challenges there may be, maybe no matter what difficulties there may be, you know, every time you have an illness, there will be people will come around and say, "Oh, Pastor, I'm praying for you." And then they will tell me, some people give good stories. Some people tell me how sad stories. I remember once when I had Bell's palsy, and then someone came to me and says, "Pastor, you got to be very careful, you know, because Bell's palsy can hit you 3-4 times." How is that going to be inspiring to me? I'm trying to get out of it. He says, you know, and it happened to my sister-in-law. Hey, she had it 3 times. Or some people say, you know, Pastor, they never recover, you know. And you keep on telling, you say, look, the person is still having the same paralysis there that is there. That's not very interesting. That's not very helpful. And so people will talk about, you know, people, you know, when you go for this kind of illness, infection can come, a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. Thank you very much. I don't know what you're doing, but there is a response from me inside me. Implicitly, I want to praise the Lord. I want to sing praises. This is the level I want to come to. 103, 104, I can draw inspiration from the external source, from the Lord. I want to make it a part of my life. I want to have all these things. But most of all, what I really want it to be is I want this ability to praise the Lord to be implicit a part of my faith and my life. Now, that's a big challenge. Am I there yet? Probably not. But I sure am going to try. Right? So this is very important. So when you eat something that seems to be very acrid, like kana, what must you look for? Ah, the sweetness. Sometimes it comes immediately. Sometimes it's an acquired taste. So some people can take it and tears come. Whoa, it is so sourish. On the other hand, you can say, wow, this is good. This is really good stuff. It goes both ways. But what I want is an implicit thing. I'm going to look for that sweetness. So even if you were to take bitter gourd, is there sweetness? Actually, yes, if you know what to look for. All right? So when you look for tea later on Saturday, I will have my Chinese tea stall. And I wouldn't like to try. And again here, I want to experiment with, you know, all the different teas that I'm given. And I hope you will look for these things. And it's not just a cup of tea. It's just looking at it and say, let me enjoy every part, the color, the fragrance, the feel, the taste, until it is inside you. See, implicit within me is, I like what I'm doing here, and this is what it is. This is my faith in God. How should I praise Him? Implicitly, I want to sing to Him. Implicitly, I want it to be a part of my faith to praise the Lord. Right? It's not just simply a reason response. It's not just simply because I determine to, but because it's really implicit as part of my faith in God. That would be a wonderful way to conclude this whole series. Think about this. All right? Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the challenge to know how to praise you. Lord, teach us how to go beyond inspiration, to have praise instilled within us until our faith in you draws out an implicit praise of who you are and all that you are doing. Help us to move along on this journey of learning how to be glad in you, to find sweetness in our meditation of you, and of being able to sing your praise and to bless your name no matter what happens in our life. We pray, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, we have appropriate hymn to conclude this whole series. And it is wonderful to be able to do this. And we think in terms of how the Lord should be praised. And we're going to sing to you. I'm going to invite the praise singers to please come. And we'll sing Fanny Crosby's song and how we want to praise the Lord. Praise Him praise him. This praising of the Lord was literally implicit in her life. And that's important for us all. Here is a blind poetess. Here is a person who suffered so much, and yet praising him was a part of her life. It's implicit inside her faith, inside her life, to praise the Lord. Let's all rise as we sing this. Praise him, praise him.
Ask the Lord to bless us before we go from here. And now may this great and wonderful God, who has created all things in his wisdom, give to us understanding and wisdom to be inspired, to give praise, to give thanks always. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ help us to have this desire to praise him instilled deep within our hearts. And may the power of the Spirit of God be there to teach us what it means to have this ability to praise you implicit within us in our faith and our trust in you. And may we always glorify you by learning to bless your name and to praise you now and forever. Amen. Thank you. And just a word as you look at all these things here, a very big thank you to all who are involved with the preparation of the slides. We take them for granted. We shouldn't. I always enjoy the different ways in which the slides come forth, and it's amazing. I think they are better than the outline. To me, I look at the pictures. I don't look at my own outline. I look at the pictures, and they are beautiful. Thank you so much, all of you who are involved in that area of work. Again, here we give thanks. Why do we give thanks? Simple. Implicit within us, give thanks. Seriously, think about it. Implicit within us to give thanks for all the good things we have. And, you know, it's just wonderful to be able to have this. We just don't want to take for granted. So have a quick lunch. And then come back, but don't gobble, don't talk yourself, just take your time. We still have plenty of time, and we won't be until 1:30, but 1 o'clock, if we can be here earlier, let's get down together and start registering, and then looking at a quorum, and then we'll carry on from there. I think that would be good, right? So we look forward to the Lord's name being blessed as we report on the Lord's work for 2025. And we have every reason to bless his name. Let's give thanks together. Father, teach us to make praise and blessing your name an implicit part of our faith and our life. Though there may be all kinds of challenges and temptations that will cause our prayers to become dust, help us to rise above all these things and to learn how to bless your name for all that you have done, all that you have created in the world, and all the blessings that we often take for granted. We pray that you will bless, Father, this time of lunch and fellowship, and also the ACM that we will conduct shortly after. Pray that we will be able to see your hand leading, blessing, guiding, and we look forward, Lord, to your leading as we have the ACM and to look forward to the years ahead of us. We pray that we will always be there to bless your name. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you once again for being here. We'll see you later on. Have lunch.